WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Some members of Congress might be really relieved that their recent vacation is over. Why? Well, because of those fiery town hall meetings. Did you hear this moment? Idaho Republican Raul Labrador was booed earlier this month after telling a town hall that nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. This clip starts with a constituent's question.
Mandating people on Medicaid except dying. You are making a mandate.
No, no one wants anybody to die. You know, that line is so indefensible. Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care.
And you could hear the crowd reaction when he says, nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. Raul Labrador and his constituents in Idaho this month. Ezra Levin is with us now, executive director of the movement known as the Indivisible Project and co-author of Indivisible, A Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda. He joins me now to discuss the Progressive Grassroots Advocacy Group and its work. Ezra, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, thank you so much for having me.
And I should say off the bat that for our listeners who may not have heard of the Indivisible Project, this is not related to our radio series for the first 100 days, which was also called Indivisible. So what's your Indivisible and how did it get started?
Yeah, so, you know, it got started as many good ideas start in a bar. My wife, Leah Kreenberg, and I, after the election, we were meeting with some friends back home during Thanksgiving break. And we were hearing about the amazing amount of energy that was already building out there in the country to resist the Trump administration's agenda. And Lee and I are former congressional staff. We were there during the rise of the Tea Party. And, you know, putting aside the Tea Party's racism and violence, what we saw was a very effective strategy, smart strategies, good tactics that folks could implement to actually resist an administration. So that's why we put out a Google Doc with those strategies in mind to help help that movement we saw already building. And I got to say, we've just been blown away since we did that about 6 months ago. There are now 6,000 groups that have registered on the Indivisible website, indivisibleguide.com. And these are school teachers and nurses and IT technicians. They're not professional advocates. They're folks who said, I've got to do something. And so what they did was they brought 20 people together in their living room and said, we're Indivisible Tulsa or we're Indivisible East Tennessee. Now there are 6,000 of them, not just East Coast and West Coast, not just city centers. There are at least two groups and an average of 13 groups in every single congressional district in the country. So I appreciate being called executive director of the movement. It's really not what it is. The executive directors of the movement are these leaders in every single community in the country now that are resisting the Trump administration on their home turf.
For us, Indivisible was an aspirational name for a show that tried to connect people across ideological lines. What does the name Indivisible mean to you, and how did you choose it?
Yeah, and Leah gets credit for picking out the name, too. I mean, it means a couple things. One, we very consciously drew from American history, very clearly from the Pledge of Allegiance, that we are one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We thought that the election of Trump and especially the agenda that he and this Congress is pushing was not in line with American values. And we wanted to be clear that this was a pro-American resource, a pro-America movement that now has been developing. But so that was one piece of it. The other piece, though, was we saw in this administration a promise to attack just about every facet of not just the progressive ecosystem, but really the fundamental American values. So we thought, and we thought this because the incoming president was saying this, that he was going to threaten the most vulnerable members of society. These were the poor, the sick, the old, Muslims, refugees, people of color. These are the folks under attack by the upcoming agenda. And we wanted to be clear, look, progressives don't have the House, the Senate, or the presidency. We don't have agenda-setting power. What we have is the power to respond. And you have to stand up whenever anybody is under attack. You've got to treat an attack on one like an attack on all. If you are a reproductive rights advocate, that is great. But you got to stand up when the Dreamers are under attack. And if you're an advocate for immigrants' rights, that's great too. But you got to stand up when they're trying to make the tax code more regressive. So the idea of standing indivisible, of standing together in opposition to the coming threat, we thought was strategically smart. As cynical former congressional staffers, we thought that was the smart move, but we thought there was a moral responsibility to stand together against all of the threats coming at us. That's the way we win.
So your Indivisible Guide, indivisibleguide.com, offers practical advice in question and answer form, like, should I bring a sign? So I'll bite. Should people bring signs to town hall meetings?
Well, if you want to get called on to ask a question and you've got a big sign that says, we don't like you because you're voting the right way, chances are the staffer who is in the crowd picking out who gets to ask questions is not going to call on you. So what I would recommend, by all means, you can bring a sign, but try to pick out somebody else in your group who's not there with the sign to ask the question. And, you know, what we tried to do in this guide is offer very practical nuts and bolts advice. So Lee and I and many of the other folks who then worked on the guide and have been working on this since then were former congressional staff. And we saw tactics that were effective at pressuring Congress. And it's rooted in a basic idea of how American democracy works, which is any individual member of Congress cares much more about his or her own reelection than they do about anything that the Trump administration is trying to get done. And for that reason, you see members of Congress very responsive to what their constituents think and what local media covers. And so that gives constituents a huge amount of power, actually. What it means is, and this is why Congress as a whole has an approval rating on par with toenail fungus or cockroaches, but individual members of Congress have extraordinarily high reelection rates. And it's because they're very good at going back to their home districts or home states and casting themselves as one of the good guys in Congress. So that means if you show up physically in person to district offices or to public events, you can actually change that behavior. And we've seen it happen already. So we started with a guide. The Indivisible Project started with just the guide. We have released dozens of scripts and explainers and briefs and toolkits specifically on how you as a constituent in your own community can have an effect on how your member of Congress votes.
So people have said this is like the liberal Tea Party or progressive Tea Party. And sure enough, you and your wife, Leah Greenberg, who you said co-founded the movement along with you and a few other congressional staffers, were both working on Capitol Hill in 2009 during the rise of the Tea Party. How did that conservative uproar serve as a model for this, if it did?
Oh, it absolutely did. And we're pretty explicit about that in the guide. We were informed by our own personal experiences interacting with Tea Party members who were pressuring our bosses on Capitol Hill back then. And we were informed by looking at the impact they had on the overall system, which is to say, we saw after Barack Obama was elected president, a relatively small number of advocates spread out throughout the country who were able to, in some cases, not just stall, but defeat major parts of a historically popular president's agenda, a president who had huge majorities in the House and the Senate. Now, we are progressives who put this guide together. We do not endorse their incredibly regressive policy agenda that the Tea Party endorsed. We were shocked and horrified by the racism and sometimes violence that they exhibited in their actions. But at a strategic and tactical level, we thought they were smart. This was smart strategy to implement a grassroots local defensive congressional advocacy strategy. They may not like Nancy Pelosi, but when they were doing advocacy, they focused on their representative and their two senators. That was crucial. They also they engaged in tactics that actually forced media to pay attention to them in their home district. So you saw this. It's not rocket science. You saw them going to district offices and getting media to cover them. You saw them going to public events and going to town halls. That works. You saw them flooding the phone line so that anytime there was a controversial vote, members of Congress felt like there was an uprising across the country, because there was. Mm. And so what we've seen from this movement is that it's using many of the same tactics based in basically the same strategy. The only difference is it's progressive and it's much bigger.
So I see that there are three House seats up for special election this year that are considered flippable from Republican to Democrat, one in Georgia, one in Montana, one in South Carolina. How involved is Indivisible in the progressive effort to flip those seats?
Yeah. So one thing I will say, the idea that those seats are even considered flippable is just a sign of how bad the environment is for folks who are supporting Trump right now. So let's take Georgia 6, the 6th District of Georgia, which is in a very conservative part of Georgia, north of Atlanta. You know, we had just been engaging in congressional advocacy. We hadn't been doing electoral work, but the groups down there, we did outreach to them and found out they were immediately wanting to get involved in that special election. There were 19 Indivisible groups in just the 6th District of Georgia. And so a couple months ago, we started coordinating them. We did coordinated calls and we helped do some trainings. Fundamentally, this is led by them, but we can help provide connections and support where it makes sense. Now, what we saw in the first round of that election, and this is a plus 8 district, it leans Republican by 8 points. What we saw was a 6-point swing in that district. That is phenomenal. We couldn't have hoped for that much of a swing. If you saw a 6-point swing next year in 2018 elections, you would see 61 Republicans lose their seat. If you saw just a 3-point swing, Republicans would lose the House. So this is an enormous victory for these grassroots this grassroots effort. And I think what it tells us is that the momentum against this administration and those who would support its incredibly regressive policies is really strong and building. So, yes, we're engaging in the special elections this year. Yes, you know, it would be great to see wins in these incredibly conservative districts. But I think what this really tells us is where the country is headed.
Ezra Levin, executive director of the Indivisible Project and co-author of Indivisible, A Practical Guide for Resisting the Trump Agenda. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.